Episode 86 of the True Patriot Podcast. What's happening, Jake?
How's it going, man?
It's pretty good. Pretty good weekend.
Yeah.
Warmth.
It felt a whole lot like summer this weekend. I think we had a nice little summer weekend.
Yeah, I was jonesing to get sunburnt this weekend. I was all about it. I was like, Jess, I don't care what we do. I don't care where we are, but this man is getting sunburned.
Get you some sun.
Get you some sun. Did you get you some sun?
I got a little bit, yeah. We had sports all weekend. So Saturday we had Gary's baseball game, So my wife, I told you this, but I'll tell the listeners as well. My wife and her sister flew down to Florida to visit their parents for the weekend. So they left Thursday night. So
your wife left you.
Yep. She's not back yet as of our recording, but she promises that she's coming back tonight. So that's a good thing.
Oh, she's still not back?
No.
Nope. She was supposed to be back.
I think she's on her way back. She said she landed, so she's on her way here.
That was a lot. You're a beast, dude. I don't know how you're doing this right now.
I had the three kids. Tommy, the baby, he's got a little cold he's dealing with, so he's been congested. That means he's been whining more than normal, but that also means that he's been sleeping more than normal, so that's helpful. And then we had sporting events. We had baseball, which of course I help out coaching Gary's baseball team. So my mom came up and watched the two younger ones at the game. So she got to get my mom and my dad. They both came up and watched the game and hung out with the two little ones while we played it. So that was good. We got a win. Nice little Saturday morning win.
That's always good.
Yep. And so came home.
What happens after a dub? Like, is there an ice cream joint to hit up, or?
There is an ice cream joint in town, but we actually did not hit that up. We just kind of went home, we hung out, and we played outside. Had some family bonding time outside. Dad started trying to get the pool ready.
Are you talking about yourself in third person, or are you talking about your dad?
Me in third person. Yes. Well, the kids played in the yard, and dad did some yard work and pool work.
Dad is one heck of a guy.
Yeah.
Cracking me up, dude.
Yeah. So, pretty eventful Saturday. And then, of course, today he had football, so we had to go. I took the two younger ones and –
No, I was going to say, are you talking about you or dad here? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
This is Gary.
This is Gary's football. Yep. We went to that. They also got a win today, but, trying to keep a sick baby out of the sun, because they do like an hour practice and then the game's like an hour. So we're out there for like 2 hours. There's no shade around, just on a football field, you know?
Yeah, but, and your son's FSI, right?
He's what?
FSI.
Fair-skinned
individual.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, all of my kids are, which of course me not being an FSI, I don't think to bring sunscreen. Just don't even think about it. My wife is the one who worries about that.
Because she's FSI.
She's like the most FS, yes. So, yeah, she wasn't there to bring the sunscreen. So I just didn't have sunscreen. Luckily, there was another mom there that has twins that are Henry's age. So they've kind of been playing with each other. So we were hanging out, and she was helping me out a good bit.
That's always helpful.
But she brought sunscreen because one of her skins is an FSI. So it all worked out. We survived. I took a little canopy, pop-up canopy tent. That was critical.
That's a huge FSI move.
Yeah, that was that was necessary. I could. Wow. I was looking around. I couldn't believe I was the only one that had one. There's nobody else. They had like multiple games going on multiple fields, and I was the only one. It's like sitting in the corner of the end zone with my little tent,
and everybody's like, the kids, "There's the FSI people."
Yeah, probably.
Wow. Yep. Yeah, I know you're surprised you're the only one, but I'm not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's kids running around everywhere. I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring one for like the team to sit under.
They don't have like a dugout? That'd be called a dugout.
No, it's literally they took a regular football field.
Oh, we're at football. We're at football.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, baseball they got the dugout obviously, but football they've got. It's just a big football field, and they kind of divide it up lengthwise, right? So they've got, like, two fields side by side, or I guess widthwise, side by side. So, yeah.
Yeah. The dugouts, because baseball is for sissies. Football is for tough men that just brave the elements. Until you play, like, varsity, then you get to play at nighttime where you don't have to brave the elements.
We did play a baseball game in the rain this week.
Oh, that's a good character building event.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We had it was a very exciting game. We ended up losing in the bottom of the sixth inning. It was awful. So in the top of the sixth inning, we were up by one run, and we had two outs, bases loaded. And we had a kid that had been struggling in the field. He had a couple errors, and he got pretty down on himself, and he actually left. He, like mid-game, he's like, I'm done with this. he was, like, throwing a tantrum, and he left. Had a complete mental breakdown, just left the game.
Does that mean does he quit? Is he allowed on the team? I feel like that's a quit.
No, he's back, but he
He
like left in like the fifth inning, and he was not back when it was his turn to bat in the sixth inning. So we had to take our third out of the last inning automatically because we got to his spot in the batting order. And by rule, that's an automatic out. Seven. Isn't that crazy?
That kid needs his chops busted. Yeah. Like by old coach, old GD, old Gary's dad.
Nah, I don't know about that.
that's bad.
I'm more of a build him up, right? I'm like, hey man, we put you in that position because we believe in you and we know that you can make that play.
And then you end
make
up
it this time, you're gonna make it next time.
So fast forward, you end up losing in the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah, they scored two runs in the bottom of the sixth, and we lost.
And it was all that kid's fault.
It wasn't awesome. All that kid's fault. We made a lot of mistakes, but we did have bases loaded, and the heart of our lineup was batting. It's pretty easy to think that we would have probably gotten a few more runs there.
Yep. All right, Coach. That's a rough one, Coach.
Yep. Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow. Good old Coach Pitch, man.
I ain't doing this crap. I can't do it. Oh, no. There's a stink bug climbing up my wall.
Uh-oh.
What should I do?
Smash it.
Should I right now? I have no choice. This is
an infiltrate. You could just leave it alone.
And then what? Then, see, when you do this, if you see a stink bug crawling and you don't kill it and you think that, you go, I know this has happened to you before. You see one crawling, you're like, I should kill that stink bug right now. And then when you don't, 5 minutes later, it's just gone. And then you're like, where is he?
Yeah, they disappear.
Yeah, I can't do this. All right, pause. dead. He's gone.
Live on air, committing murder.
One thing that creepeth on the earth, be gone.
Be gone, stink bug.
Stink bug, be gone. They do not belongeth in here.
Okay. Well, he's gone.
He's begone. He's dead. He's in stink bug heaven, where they all are there. And that sounds more like hell. I hate stink bugs. Is that...
Yeah.
What are any worse bugs? There's stink bugs are up there, but we got ticks, mosquitoes.
Ticks and mosquitoes are pretty bad, yeah.
Fleas.
Mm-hmm.
Bed bugs. Lice.
Yeah.
I think stink bugs are definitely worse than all of those bugs, but...
You think so?
Yeah. Not worse, but they're not... Did I say worse? They're definitely not worse.
Not worse, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
You forgot a pretty important word there. Not.
Are you sure? Did I? Yeah, maybe.
You did.
Okay. I'll believe you. I think I did, but... My brain's just skipping. It's like a skipping record when I see one. I'm like, I cannot focus on anything. You yeah. know, just hate them. I hate them.
Yeah.
They stink.
So back on track. We had a good week. I survived single dad for the weekend.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
It was challenging, but it's not as bad as it sounds. It helps that I have good kids. You know, Gary is like almost like having another parent. He's very helpful. He does whatever I ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that helps a lot. So
Gary probably like gained a few like dad brownie points this weekend, like helping you out. Like he's yeah. definitely re-solidified himself as your number one guy.
Oh, well. Like he needed any more brownie points. That kid. he's a good kid.
Yeah. But your oldest is always like.
Yeah.
The help. It's like when I think. Like when you think like how do these large families survive when somebody has four or five kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I look around, I parent watch. I'm like, because mm-hmm. I'm thinking this. I'm like, how do these large family units survive out in the wild? And I'm watching. It's because the older siblings have to pick up the slack. That's how they survive.
Definitely.
Because nothing changes about the young ones. It's like always chaotic, like zero through
four even or five. Like
four. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I almost said three, but three's like
no, three's worse than two. For any new parents out there, three is worse than two. You hear about the terrible twos all the time. No one ever tells you about the three-nagers. Threes are way worse than two.
They're awful because they're humongous and capable, but they yeah. don't. They just, like, don't. They're not. Like, they're very capable, and it's frustrating because you know they can do whatever you're asking them to do, but they just, like, choose not to.
They choose not to.
Yeah. It's all about them. They can just... Yep. Drive the missus. They can drive anybody, any sane person, completely insane by lack of falling. You know, it's like
yeah,
the three-nagers. They're rough.
They are rough.
I can't wait till we actually get to real teenagers.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm right there with Gary. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the things he says, he talks about. You know, he started using words that like I don't know what they mean.
Well, that's because he like reads the Bible more than you.
No, it's because he goes to public school and he learns all these slang terms.
Oh, he's using slang?
Yeah. Do you know what getting he is seven.
Okay.
Do you know what getting head topped is? This is a 7-year old asking you, so
I know what getting head and getting top is. I've actually yes. heard. I'm familiar with both those terms in slang,
but not together. Head topped.
Well, getting head is what I think it is, and getting topped was actually something I learned in college. It was like some slang I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting head, you're getting topped.
Yep.
But that's probably an extinct slang term at this point, but head top.
Probably.
Getting head topped.
Yep.
I mean, if I'm a 7 year old, I imagine it's just a kid bopping another kid on the head with their hand.
Nope. It's actually a football play where a wide receiver reaches over top of the defender's head and catches the ball over his head.
So that's a 7 year old's way of saying you got mossed.
Yeah, that's a different one that he says is you got mossed.
How's that different? That I thought that was.
I don't know. You'd have to ask him what the difference is.
Head topped.
Yeah, head topped.
You never want to be head topped by a guy.
No, nope. It's never a good thing.
Never a good thing.
Unless, but it can be good to be the guy head topping.
No, it's never a good thing. Yeah. You need to remove head top from the vocab.
I've even heard his flag football coach say it.
Well, that's the whole problem.
It's like guys our age using it.
That's the whole problem. They started this. This is not a thing. This is just a thing on your kid's football team because of some idiot.
It's like in the whole school. The school knows it, right?
I guess. Man.
They like do it at recess.
Head top.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guess we can move on.
Yeah. What do we got for real talk?
What are some more slang? We're kind of entering the slang age. We're not quite there yet, but you heard of some new slang lately?
No, I mean, I'm sure that there's some I can't think of off the top of my head. I'm gonna have some. Okay.
How about you heard of cap?
Of what?
Cap. Like that's cap. Cap.
That's cap.
That's yeah. Cap.
Like we would say bullshit, right?
Yeah, that's new bullshit. Slang.
Or bullcrap.
Yeah, yeah, you're yeah. Being pretty bullcrap. Drug. What's some more? That's all I know. That's cap.
Yeah.
That's cap, bro.
The other thing that every kid on the football team, when they catch a touchdown, the first thing they do is drop the ball and they start doing the gritty. Do you know what the gritty is?
I like kind of do. It's really funny, but I don't know how to do it. It's like,
yeah. It's like a dance move where they like get down in a crouch and they like do a little shuffle and they wave their arms. You know, rock their arms back and forth.
Yeah, the gritty. Yeah. They're yeah. Doing the gritty.
It's Justin Jefferson's signature dance.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, let's just get into it now. This was in my sports talk, but have you seen where they are going to add the guardian caps to normal league play? Do you know what a guardian cap is?
Yeah, it's like
I was talking about.
It's like the. It's like the bubbles on top of, like, basically putting bubble wrap around the helmets.
So now in the NFL next season, you will literally be seeing, like, it's like pillows on players' heads.
Yeah. It makes their helmet like twice as big. Like,
it looks ridiculous. And I saw them utilizing it in practice. It's like, it's like if you put like knee pads all over your head, but they're even smaller. It's like little triangle, like foam pads all over the helmet.
Yep.
What is going on? What has happened?
Brain injuries, man. They see Antonio Brown running around acting like a crazy man. They're like, that guy's got CTE. I don't want to end up like Antonio Brown here.
So the NFL stance is, it's like, you know, the cheek pads, the insert, it's like cheek pads all over the head. It's like, it's ridiculous. Like the innards of the helmet have became the outers.
Well, they have it both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they probably, you know, back when football was first invented, they just they didn't leather. Have helmets. Then they went to leather helmets. And,
yeah,
and those guys are probably like, oh, these pansies, they need helmets. They ain't doing anything, you know.
Yeah,
back in my day, we didn't even wear helmets. And then, you know, they started putting helmets like we know today on all the leather heads are like, ah, these pansies, they don't even wear these bicycle helmets and stuff. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my grandpa played with like the no face mask.
Yeah.
Like leather hat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's all you fucking need, right?
Back then. Now,
back then, now. Dude, like, could you imagine football players back then? They're like really tough.
Man's yeah, but man. But the problem is that those guys back then did not run 4.240s at 260 pounds, right?
Because the guys that ran 4.240s were too preoccupied with, they're just like being prima donnas, worried about their stat. They don't actually care about playing football, like, and being tough. It used to be, football used to be a lot about being tough. How tough are you? How much pain are you willing to take to be good? Now they're like, it's like they're removing that from the game. It's like these tough guys don't matter. Like you,
you still have like 260 pound linebackers. Back then, you had like 180 pound linebackers, right? Those are like the biggest guys on the field. They were 180 pounds,
but with like no helmet and no teeth,
right? But now you have guys that are like 260 pounds, and they all would be easily the fastest guy on the field back then, you know, faster than your 140 pound guys back then, but they're 260 pounds. That's a lot of extra force that they're putting into those collisions. Right. So we do need better protection than what we had back in the days of leather helmets.
It's getting guys bad, are just
bigger,
though.
Stronger, faster.
All right. I'm playing a little devil's advocate there, but I mean, it's getting pretty bad. Like, did you see they banned a new type of tackle this year?
That's the hip. Which tackle is basically grabbing a guy like from behind and falling down and like bringing him over your body. Can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I like don't get
that's it. That is crazy.
Yeah,
I think they had a guy that got like his foot caught underneath. Like when the defender sat down, he like sat down on his ankle and the guy missed time for it. So that's why they're like, oh, we got to ban that tackle. But
that rule sounds
stupid. That's a really bad rule. And what's going to end up happening is it's going to cost a team a game.
Like, and they're going to go
completely ape shit about it.
Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you mean a hip tackle? Like, do you know how hard it is to tackle a human anyway? It's hard. It's not even easy.
Just getting a hand on them.
Yeah, and like you said, these guys are running 4.2, 4.3, 40. If you're lucky enough to get a hold of their hips, of course you're going to drag them down. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's crazy.
So you can't hip drag tackle? Like, dude, sometimes I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, if you grab them by the hips and drag them down with your body, that's all I tackled like 50% of the time because I'm like in college, I'm like, can barely catch up to these guys.
Right.
And it's like, thank God I can barely grab them and drag them down. Like, I about missed that one. There's going to be so much more scoring. Like, these running backs and wide receivers are strong. Like, it's hard to tackle them. Unless you, like, the hip drag tackle is like almost any pursuit, like when you barely get them, that's what you do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like only allowing like head on collisions. Like, otherwise, you got to let them go. Like, I don't get it. It's crazy. Like, the NFL's changing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Football's changing a lot. And all the NIL stuff, the transfer, the college game, the transfer portals, and.
Yep.
Wow. All these mid-major teams are getting ravaged by the transfer portal. You probably haven't been paying much attention, but I do because I closely follow a MAC school because that's where I went to school.
Yeah.
Dude, I think more than half of their starters entered the transfer portal this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, I mean, it goes both ways, right? Because then you can get guys who, you know, washed out of a big program, couldn't get on the field, still have all of the athletic ability, but couldn't make it in that program for whatever reason. So it's kind of a the transfer portal gives, but it doesn't. But it also takes, right?
It seems, from what I've been following, it seems like it just mostly takes. Dropouts. See,
I'm a Buckeye fan, so it mostly gives.
Yeah. Big school dropouts are usually more or less like character flaws. Like the athletic ability is usually always there. It's like, this guy's.
Yeah, but that's how, I mean, that's where Mac schools thrive, right? Getting these five-star talents with character flaws, and the big schools don't want them. Like Antonio Brown. He's Central Michigan, I think. One of the directional Michigan schools. Yeah. I mean, he's clearly a great talent, but also kind of crazy, right? Don't mean to keep, trashing Antonio Brown here, but
I don't know if anybody knows this or not. This doesn't just apply to football, but the amount of leash you get depends on how good you are at whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Antonio That's Brown's true. Leash was just really long because he's really good at playing football.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The better you are, the longer leash you get. That's some simple politics for you. But should we move on?
I think so.
Okay. We'll move on into the real talk of the week. And we were kicking a few things around, but we landed on Man in the Arena, which I think it's cool. It's important. It's a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. I believe he was a president.
He was a president. States.
Yes, he was a president. There we go.
Confirmed.
Thank you. I was looking for that, but the Man in the Arena quote, man, it's a hell of a quote. From Teddy. I'll just give it a read here. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end of the triumph of high achievement? And who at worst he fails, and at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So that's the quote from Teddy Roosevelt. There's a lot to unpack in that one, man.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of like, it's talking a lot about criticism, mm-hmm. critics. Who do people talk about? The man in the arena, right?
Right.
There's always a lot. There's a guy doing a lot of things, making a lot of noise, making a lot of stuff happen, good or bad. And that's who the public likes to talk about.
Right.
And, Theodore Roosevelt's just kind of pointing that out. Like, It's not to them who the credit belongs to. All these people on the sidelines. He's drawing a line here. Like, there's man. You can either be the man in the arena, or you're not. Who are you? Who are you? And I think that's really important to point out. And obviously, Teddy Roosevelt did too. You're either the man in the arena, or you're the person on the sidelines criticizing, right? Or you're talking crap. That's what you're doing. You're talking crap. You're not doing anything. and you're sitting there criticizing the man whose face is actually marred by dust, sweat, and blood, who's striving valiantly, who comes short again and again because there's no effort without error. I mean, he's the guy screwing up and, you know, making noise. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of lessons in here. I'm going to let you speak on it, but I got a lot more to say. I know I'm just talking and talking.
Yeah, I kind of read it as like screw the haters, right? Where it's like you're always going to be when you're doing things, you're going to make mistakes. There's always ways that you could have done it better, right? You're going to fail at things. That's how you learn. But it's important to be out there doing things rather than doing nothing. No matter what you do, you're always going to have critics. You're always going to have haters. People trying to drag you down and say they could have done this, they could have done that. But those haters are doing nothing but hating, right? All they're doing is trying to, poke holes in your accomplishments by tearing you down to make themselves seem more significant, right?
Yeah. And here, you know, it also says, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly. Yeah. You know,
you're going to fail.
Yeah. And it's like there's like satisfaction in failing. For the man in the arena, it's better to try and fail than to not try at all, right?
Yep.
And I mean, honestly, I feel like that's a great point. Like, that's a great thing I've done in my life. Like, that's how you live life with no regrets. Like, to dare to fail. Mm-hmm. and to not care even and so what if you fail? At least if you fail, at least you're daring greatly, at least mm-hmm. it's to me, when I fail, at least you always learn something, and you either learn something that, and you're continuing on in your journey and you're getting better and you're honing your craft, and that takes many times. And if you keep going over and over again, these little hiccups and I don't know what you call them, like little thorns that you can just like easily sidestep, just don't bog you down like mm-hmm. they used to. They're easy to see because you've done it before. Or you fail so bad that you just know, like, this is not for me. I wasn't even close, or at least mm-hmm. he's daring greatly. But his place will never be with those cold, timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I'd rather know defeat than not try at all. I mean, I think that's powerful too.
Yeah,
you never know your place. If you're just sitting on the sidelines talking crap,
that is your place, right?
That's your place.
that's worse than the guy that lost on the field.
There's like three categories, right? There's, you know, you're good at your craft and you're doing great and you're at the top. There's you're good at your craft, you're underestimating how good you are, or you're number three, you're worse than you think you are. You think you're great, but you're not in the arena, right? So you just think you're good.
Yeah, if you're as great as you say you are, get in here and prove it.
Get in the arena. You're not in the arena. You just think you're good.
Yeah,
it's funny how
I'm good. Trust me.
How people think they're so. Oh, I could beat that guy's ass.
Yeah.
Or I could hit like five dingers off this guy. Like, I'm a great baseball player.
Yeah.
Like, these kids suck so bad. I was so good. Like,
or, you see it a lot in fighting, like MMA, boxing, that sort of thing, where guys are like, how did you get knocked out by that leg kick? It's like, well, you take one of those, see how it feels.
or I'm stronger than that guy, you know. Yeah. It's funny how tough people are till they're actually in the arena, and how quickly you get humbled. And it's honestly important to humble yourself. If you're one of those people on the sidelines talking crap, which you shouldn't be doing, why don't you put yourself in the arena and see how you do before you. Yeah.
If it's that easy, do it.
If it's that easy, do it, because it's not. Even if you used to be good at it, and you know, if you used to be the man in the arena, and now you're not, and you're just talking about crap you used to do, just shut your damn mouth, because you're not in there anymore. You only get to say anything about anything if you're in the arena, or at least have been there. I mean,
been there, yeah. I mean, like, I think of that as like, you know, retired players that talk on TV about like, oh yeah, this is what he should have, what he was supposed to do here was this, right? That has validity to it, but
right,
yeah, for guys that like have never done it, never been there, but, you know, although it's like me coming to your job site and, you know, yelling, why didn't you make the dirt over there? Like, why didn't you pick it up? And yeah, I would have done it that way. I would have had this done hours ago. You know?
You don't want to.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
it's like the Skip Bayless of sports, yes, commentary, right? It's like the exactly. Nerdy guy commentating on sports, and you're like, this guy has no ground to stand on. This guy's a freaking nerd. Skip Bayless telling people how good they are at basketball. That's a great example.
Yeah.
Because this dude sucks. This dude's not athletic. And there's tons of those. Yeah. There's tons of sports people that I don't respect. It's hard to watch. Right? Like you said, there's a few, you know, respectable sports. It's like the sports radio guys that really suck. They're like on the air all the time. They bring out the real experts when the game's actually going. So the guy can explain what's going on.
Melissa's.
Yeah, like the experts come out when the expert things are going on, right?
Yeah.
The talking heads and flapping mouths, that all happens in the time between. But when the real stuff's going on, the smart people are talking. And it's funny, when the real stuff's going on, you don't hear Skip Bayless on the play-by-play commentary, because Skip Bayless does not have a play-by-play commentary because he's dumb. Like, he doesn't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Those people go away when the Warriors are playing, and the smart people get to talk. But I don't know. Don't be one of those people. It's important to not be one of those people. Actually, in James 11 of the Bible, I'm going to quote this: speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth of his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges of the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So they're saying, you're not a doer of the law. You're just being a judge. Like, you're a loser. Don't speak evil of your brother. That's really all that verse says. The Bible preaches, you know, respect, dignity, self-control, all these things. Talking bad about another human, you're just a loser. You're just being a judge.
Don't be a hater, be a doer.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I'm gathering from that man in the arena.
Yep.
It's easy to do. I get it. Like, you don't want to be a gossiper, man. And I find myself all the time, like, I have to make a conscious effort. Like, am I really gonna, like, don't talk crap about people? That's something I've like learned. Right, like, there's no gain in it. There's nothing. There's nothing there. It's honestly more honorable to just keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Wish for the best. All right. That's the real talk. You ready to move on?
Let's do it.
Patriot of the Week.
Yeah, my Patriot of the Week comes from Jacksonville, Florida. A man named Matt Dragich. He is an amateur MMA fighter. And they were having an issue in town where an 8-foot-long alligator was causing a bit of a traffic jam because it had wandered into the street, and it was starting to chase people, you know, snap at them and, you know, kind of scaring the pedestrians walking down the street, that sort of thing. So he shows up, Dragon shows up. He's got no shoes on. He's got sleeveless flannel, you know, denim shorts.
Hell yeah.
Shows up. Yeah. And he wrestles this alligator into submission. He's like hops on it and he's like messing with it, playing with it for a little bit. And then he hops on its back and wrestles it and then ends up picking it up. And he's just kind of walking it through the street, completely subdued, until the authorities showed up and took it away.
So he had the alligator in a rear naked choke.
Basically. Yep. He's just kind of like holding on, walking it through town.
Their video of this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So he, it turns out he is a licensed gator trapper.
What's this guy's name?
His name is Matt Dragich, Dragich.
Wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
You always got to have them gator wranglers.
Yeah, especially in Florida.
Especially in Florida. I don't know, like, I prefer to be a Florida visitor, not a, like, citizen.
Yes, agreed.
Don't want to, like, lose its lore. Like, I just don't want to, like, live there all the time.
Yeah, it's nice to go down there when it's cold here, like get some sun for a week or so, but then it gets way too hot down there. Not for me.
Too many reptiles.
Too many reptiles.
They get way too freaking big. I like to have a nice cold winter to, you know, we're up in Ohio, nice cold deep freeze kind of kills the bugs, kills the reptiles. Mm-hmm. They never get too big. You're lucky to see a reptile at all up here, actually, which is good, like. Don't like them. Don't need them. Not good. All right. My Patriot of the Week is science-based because that's how I always approach all my arguments and statements.
Right.
In this segment, excuse me, of the show. Sorry. Got really Huberman labby right there, but. A Patriot of the Week goes to the University of Chicago. New study has determined that a certain gut bacteria can help prevent certain food allergies, actually most food allergies, and other gastrointestinal illnesses. Their research is showing that they can produce not only the production, but the ingestion of certain gut bacterias can prevent inflammatory antigens that cause allergic reactions. Like, you know, how people are allergic to foods. I mean, I'm not. So I guess, like, you know, the peanut allergy or certain things.
Yeah.
That's the only one I really know, right? what like, other food?
Lactose intolerance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only two, right? I don't know.
Gluten allergies.
Yeah, I don't even know what
people are allergic to gluten.
I don't even know what gluten really is, Jake.
It's a protein that is in wheat. So it's gonna be like in bread and stuff.
So they're finding that people who are suffering from these food allergies are lacking, you know, certain types of gut bacteria, and they're really like advancing science on these food allergies, and they're tired of treating the, you know, symptoms. The effect, the symptoms, and it seems like they're actually moving on to now treating the cause, which is actually be a real fix for people that have these issues. So
sure,
thought it was cool. That's a noble use of people's brains to be thinking of this stuff. I mean, I like, yeah. You know, you want to be preventive, proactive, not reactive, I guess. So
yep.
Shout out University of Chicago. I mean, I think it's really important. There's really a lot of stuff going on right now about the gut and microbiome and how it affects really the whole body. So keep it in mind. You can't trash your microbiome and your gut. You're going to cause all kinds of issues. So,
yeah.
So stop drinking so much, Jake.
Well, how do we get? So they give you a pill that has this bacteria in it, or what?
Yeah, they're sciencing it out a little bit. They're okay. Kind of trying to. They're going to be able to test people to figure out what they're lacking and be able to like supplement their gut health with like stuff mm-hmm. they need. I guess. I mean, you know, it's going to get. Yeah. I'm not some genius or anything. I'm just reading articles here.
Yeah.
Quit asking me questions. No, but I mean, it makes sense. Like
it does. Really does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're basically just giving your body another tool to break down those types of foods, right?
A bacteria that, what the heck did I say? It sounded good when I said it, yeah. But it inhibits antigens that cause a, you know, allergic reaction. So they're mm-hmm. neutralizing, you know, it's on a microscopic level, but it's like chain reactions that produce allergic reactions. Allergic reaction is just an out of control response to something that's entered your body and it, like, can't handle mm-hmm. It's like the bacteria that can stymie that reaction is just not there,
right.
and you're getting an allergic reaction instead of a normal reaction,
right?
Yeah. So, okay, what we got now?
Patriot picks.
What you got?
We're going to do method of transportation. Best methods of transportation. How do you get around?
How do you get around? That sounds like an old slang term I used to know.
How much you get around? Hold on, I gotta find a dag penny. I just took all of my area. Okay. All right.
Lucky for you, I totally lost my double-sided. Was it a tail or a head? I don't even know what it was.
Head.
I had a two-headed coin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to report it's been lost in my other currency. So
you spent it?
At some point, I gave somebody, I don't know, it's somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know where it is.
I'd say it's at Denny's.
It's somewhere, and someone's going to find it, and it's going to end up on eBay. Like, holy crap, rare double-sided head. Somebody's going to find, like, oh my God, it's happened. I found a double-headed coin.
Either that or they're going to be like, what the hell? I can't use this.
This has to be True Patriot Craig's fucking coin. All right. It's hard to see on this camera.
Yep, there's a head.
Okay. That's tail.
What is that, Minnesota? Yeah.
Wow, how did you see that?
I saw the MINN, and then I also saw the outline of the state of Minnesota.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Heads or tails?
I'll take tails. Minnesota. Can't see that. It looks like. Is that tail? I'm on a streak. I'm on a streak.
You are. Is that four in a row?
Yeah. How about it? I'll take it.
All right. Best methods of transportation. You're up first.
Number one is obviously an automobile. I would say the minivan is the best of the automobiles.
Okay. Your first statement was correct, but your second one, very debatable.
My life has been significantly improved since I started driving a minivan. It's so much easier. Everything's easier in the minivan.
Maybe your life, but there is no way my life would be better driving a minivan. My life would suck so bad if I drove a minivan.
I don't know. I think you would be surprised.
No, I'm a very different type of person, and my life.
You need to get you a minivan.
Everything about my life would suffer greatly. I use my truck a lot. I use trucks like to do truck things. Like I use the bed of the truck. I use the hitch.
You would be, well, you can put a hitch on a minivan. And you would be surprised at how much cargo space when you lay the seats down in the back, how much cargo space a minivan has.
Okay. I'm dumb making kids, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying you lay the seats down. You can put whatever whatever you're going to put in the bed of your truck.
Oh,
put
it in a minivan. So you can be like the guy like with like 6 foot of lumber sticking out the back of your minivan with the tailgate open.
I have put hauled lumber in my minivan before. That is
yeah.
Yep.
It's not ideal.
A few times. It's not ideal, but
yeah.
But have you ever taken a road trip to Florida in your pickup truck?
No, I just have another have a minivan. No, I'm just it's great for road trips.
Yes, it's versatile. It can do both.
All right. Minivan's not the best.
It's the best.
But it is an automobile. It is an automobile. Okay. For the second best, well, I'm going to agree. Automobile is probably number one.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying best methods of getting around.
Best method of transportation. How do you get around?
It's because our office lady's name is Beth. That's why I keep saying that. I say it so much. But anyways, best methods of moving around. Gonna have to go the bipedal method. Two legs, upright. That would be walking and running. Am I allowed to take both?
Yeah, I'll give you both.
The bipedal method is probably the second best way of getting around.
It is very convenient. You don't have to worry about parking. The only problem, of course, is it's not good for long distances. So, like, you're not walking to, Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
But it deserves to be number one because if you can't walk around on two legs, it's pretty hard to get in a car. Do
just about anything. Yeah.
Or operate a car.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm with you. Walking was on my list. It is a very underrated method of transportation.
Okay. Do I get to go again?
Yes. That's how this works. Every time.
I'm going to take the bicycle method, two-wheel, manual power. When you're in a bind, they're always around.
Mm-hmm.
Find one.
Have you tried an electric bike?
No, because I just can't afford it. If anybody wants to send me one, you can send it to 2440 East Pike, Zanesville, Ohio.
You just put your address out on the podcast, huh?
No, that's not my address. That's my dad's address. No. 2440 East Pike, Zanesville, Ohio. You can send the bike to my dad's house, and he'll probably tell me about it and be like, hey, yeah, like somebody sent me a bike. And then I'll think,
that's mine.
That's mine. That's not my address. So 2440 East Pike, Zanesville, Ohio. Send me a bike. Send me an electric bike. Send anything you want. Quite honestly, doesn't matter. If you've been waiting and wishing to send us anything, send it there.
The electric bikes are nice because you have it has pedal assist, so you can still pedal, but then it just kind of propels you forward a little bit faster, right? Makes you pedal faster. But then you can also just not pedal at all and just zip along. It's nice.
I have a major problem.
Another stink bug?
Yeah, actually two.
Uh-oh.
What the hell is going on in here?
Your house is infested.
There's a nest.
Has to be.
This is
an infestation.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. That's okay. It's okay. But electric bikes, thing that sucks about electric bikes, like I told you, when I was training for my marathon, I would literally run like 10 miles out into a place like only the fittest should be, and there'd be some bozo on an electric bike. I'd be like, you do not belong. You do not belong out here. You suck. Like, at least manually pedal your ass out here, some fat kid on an electric bike. 10 miles out on trail. There's nothing worse.
Yeah. He's one of the critics from the that does not want to get in the arena. He just wants to tell you how fast he can go on his bike.
Yeah. All right. What you got for your number two?
Mine, I'm going to go with airplane. Travel a long way in a short period of time. So,
well,
if it is efficient, except that you got to do the whole security thing. That kind of sucks. But once you're on the plane,
pretty good second pick. I probably could have put that before bike.
You're thinking short range travel. You got short range travel.
I'm thinking doomsday.
Yeah.
My last pick.
My last pick.
Oh shit.
That's how we do it every time. okay. I'm going to go with a bus.
Getting around on bus. Is an automobile.
Okay.
You already got bus. You already have
true.
Bus, dude.
That's true. Then I am going to go with a train.
Nice.
Yeah, old school.
Trains are awesome.
Trains are fun.
Trains can, they're very fascinating how much weight they can handle.
Yes.
Actually, just how much weight a train car alone weighs. I've actually scrapped one out before.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a rare thing. But, dude, they weigh like, I think it weighed like 35,000 pounds. An empty train car, like empty. It was crazy. It was insane. And then, like, we scrapped out a few of them. Like, wow, like, they weigh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trains are incredible. Wow, I'm really, I guess I'm going to go with tracked vehicles. You know, the track. So I'm taking excavators, dozers, gotcha. Tanks, yes. Tracks. Tracked vehicles, pretty pretty nice way to get around. Pretty well unstoppable.
Slow,
but very powerful. Not quite train.
Leatherhead football players.
I mean, more powerful than automobiles. Can do a lot of things with tracked vehicles. That's excavators, dozers, tanks, and whatnot. That would be a great. That's a great way to get around. Because it's like a train, but a train that can turn doesn't have to be on track. Just like go wherever you want. So.
Okay.
You had some good picks there.
Thank you.
So you had, say it again fast. You had
automobiles, airplane, and train.
And I was walking.
Planes, trains, and automobiles. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a pretty solid list there. Mine very more like practical. The first two was bipedal method, which would be running and walking bicycle track vehicle
and track vehicles.
All right. Yeah, you probably got me there, but all right. Patriot picks.
That's what we just did.
Oh. No, we're done. Current events.
Current events. I don't have any current events this week.
Okay, yeah, doesn't matter. What the crap?
So my what the crap this week comes from Osaka, Japan.
What's going on there? So I always am wondering.
They have a zoo in Osaka, Japan.
I'll be damned.
And in that zoo, they have a hippo. And the hippo's name is Jen Chan, They received this. They received.
Wait, what's the hippo's name?
Jen Chan, like G E G E N dash Chan, C H A N, right?
Jen Chan.
So that's a boy's name in Japan.
that sounds like a girl's name.
Well, so they got the hippo in 2017. They bought it from a zoo in Mexico. It comes to Japan, and it's lived there. It was 5 years old when it got there, and it's been there for 7 years. And all the zookeepers there are like, "Hey, are we sure that this is a boy hippo? Because we can't find the reproductive organs. It's following like female tendencies and things like that. It's acting like a girl hippo." So they did a DNA test on it and found out that it was actually a female. So although they've been treating it as a male hippo and trying to make it a male hippo for the last 7 years, it actually turned out to be a female, and the Mexican zoo had it wrong. Hey, you order a hippo from Mexico, you get what you get, right?
Yeah, well, isn't Mexico like the gender of a word can just changes by one letter? It's like, the female things end in A and all the male things end in O.
They said, "Oh, we got a hippo for you." And they said, like, "Do you mean hippo?"
Yeah, hippo. Hippo ends in O, which is masculine.
There you go.
Mexican terms. And it's just a language barrier.
Greg's Spanish lesson of the day. Hippo means man. Hippo.
Hippa. Hippa. Yeah, it was a hippa.
There you go.
See, the Mexican probably said it's a hippa. And they thought he said hippo.
Yeah. That could be.
Or wait, was it the other way around?
It is actually a female. They thought it was a male.
They thought it was a male. It's actually a female. So they said hippo. They meant hippa.
Yeah.
Hippa. You know, it's hard. It's Mexicans, it's hard to understand. I understand. I understand how that happened. Definitely makes sense. So I have a Megan Gall update.
Who?
Megan Gall. You don't remember Megan Gall?
I probably will once you start telling me about her.
Megan Gall, she was an officer in, I believe it was Tennessee. She was a married female police officer, had a lot of sexual relations
with her coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that all got out and she got fired from said job.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Gall update is she's won $500,000 from the Tennessee Police Department that she worked for.
Oh, wow.
Sexual like harassment or something. Mm-hmm. Seems she was coerced into some of these doings. I don't know. She got 500 grand. That's all I know. She like started a lawsuit.
Was she coerced into like the actual acts and the things that she got fired for? Or was she coerced into like a confession, and then they say, "Tell us everything, you won't get in trouble." And then they,
I don't know. It sounded like she has some premise to her argument. If they paid up 500 grand,
yeah,
I think she started having sexual relations with one of the officers. Then all the officers started talking, and they started like scheming on how to, it's like they were colluding with each other how to get Megan to have sex with more of the guys, and it just became a crap show, ridiculous event. All we saw is the end result. This is ridiculous, but
right.
Apparently,
so she's a victim.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but she got paid 500 grand.
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her. All right, my real what the crap comes out of. This is coming out of none other than Oklahoma.
All right.
Which we have been on an Oklahoma rampage. We have a couple, 40-year-old couple, traveling to, well, see, I guess it, they're from Oklahoma. Ryan Watson and his wife, Valerie Watson, traveled to Turks and Caicos to celebrate his 40th birthday, early April, April 7th. They also went with two friends who also turned 40. The vacation came to an abrupt end when airport staff members found a Ziploc bag containing a bunch of bullets in Ryan's carry-on luggage.
Yeah.
Which is a big no-no.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
You should not have ammunition in your carry-on on the plane, Ryan. Bad idea. So Watson, it was found by airport staff members. Watson claimed it was hunting ammunition from a previous trip that he accidentally brought with him. So Ryan made a big oopsie, bad bonehead move. Like, that sucks, right? Yeah. Bad move. He said, it was hunting ammunition rounds that I used for white-tailed deer in an interview. I recognized them when I saw them. I thought, oh, man, what a bonehead move I've made. I have no idea why those were there. That sucks.
I'm guessing he put them there.
Yeah, like you said, it was from a previous trip, but... Yeah. Honestly, as a guy who like has a lot of guns, shoots a lot of guns, I do have bullets like in random places. Yeah. They're like in my bathroom, they're in my truck, they're in my desk, they're everywhere. If you're like a gun guy, kind of is a thing. Like,
yeah,
bullets everywhere.
Yeah,
but
this does not.
However,
you told me that this happened to you, I would not be like shocked by it, right?
Yeah, I am Ryan Watson.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm an airport freak out guy too. Like when you're traveling on the airport, your guard should be up for these things. You should not do these things. You should not take bullets. Maybe you can get away with it like in your check bag. Like that's more acceptable, right? But you should really be watching what's in your carry-on bag, right? Because that, you know, you're going through the things and TSA. But apparently, what's weird is he's detained in Turks and Caicos. So he, got through the U.S. one. He's stuck in Turks and Caicos awaiting court, and he cannot leave. He's not to be allowed to leave. And facing 12 years in prison time.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's stuck there. He's got a wife, a young family, kids without a dad. He's waiting on his court date in Turks and Caicos. Yeah.
They're like treating him like a terrorist because he forgot to take bullets out of his carry-on.
That's their laws, man. I mean,
yeah. Yikes.
It said the U.S. Embassy in Bahamas issued a warning to travelers in September, which this is, 6 months ago, about a law that strongly prohibits possession of firearms or ammunition in Turks and Caicos, which is a British territory in the southeast Bahamas, popular vacation spot. Don't take ammunition there. They freak out. this guy's stuck there, and his family's back home.
I'm sure they're going to get him back.
Yeah, right. But he's awaiting trial. His case is to go to trial May 3rd, which so we're still not there. This happened April 7th. He spent, so
he's going to be there about a month.
A month.
Yeah,
he's been there a month awaiting trial over a bonehead move. Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's rough.
Don't travel out of the country with ammunition in your luggage. All right.
Bad idea.
Bad idea. What the crap? All right. Sports.
Sports. We had the NFL draft this week. You watch any? Did you watch any of it?
Not a lick. None of it.
I watched the first round, then kind of had it on in the background the next couple days.
Is your background fuzz?
Yeah, as I'm like chasing the kids around and
yeah. You had a wild weekend.
Yeah, but Gary got into it, so that was kind of nice to see.
Oh yeah, who did the Browns end up with?
The Browns took Mike Hall Jr. They didn't have a first round pick, so they took him in the second round.
Naturally.
Defensive lineman for the Buckeyes, now a Cleveland Brown. And then they took, in the third round, they took Zach Zinter, who's the offensive lineman from Michigan. If you remember the Ohio State-Michigan game, when the offensive lineman from Michigan broke his leg on that long drive, and then they, you know, that took him like 20 minutes to get him off the field.
Oh, yeah.
And then they scored right after that. The guy that broke his leg, that's who the Browns drafted.
Wow. So they're kind of taking a chance on him then.
Yeah, but he's like an All-American. He's one of the best offensive linemen in this class. He probably would have been a first rounder had he not
cracked his leg. Had he not
broken his leg, yeah. So they got him in the third round. I mean, you got to think he's going to be just fine. That's going to be a good pick.
But you said, like you were saying, Zach Hunter was the guy that broke his leg.
Zach Center, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good to bring those two back together.
Yeah. So, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., he ended up in Arizona.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player, man. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so they got him fourth overall. Of course, the three quarterbacks went first through third, Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels, and then Drake May. So Williams to Chicago, Daniels to Washington, and then Drake May to New England. And then the crazy pick that everybody's kind of confused on was the Falcons. They took Michael Penix Jr., the Washington quarterback, at number 8. And the reason that everybody's confused by this is because they just paid Kirk Cousins a boatload of money in free agency.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just don't understand why you'd then use a top 10 pick on a quarterback after that. So
I'm pretty sure, like, I saw the odds right before the draft happened that, like, Michael Penix was like a plus 5,000 odds to be drafted at where he did. I don't know, something weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels like one of them weird gambling things, doesn't it?
Well, a lot of people thought that J.J. McCarthy was going to be picked ahead of Penix.
Yeah, because didn't – yeah.
He was still on the board, so, yeah. He ended up, by the way, in Minnesota to replace Kirk Cousins, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't Penix get kind of beat down? Was it the semifinals?
The semifinal, he played. I mean, they won.
Or was it the?
It was the championship game against Michigan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but,
the guy,
but you got kind of got to take it with a grain of salt because they knew everything that he was going to do, right?
No, not in that one.
Yeah, probably in that one. Why would you quit cheating if you like?
Well, they were already caught.
You haven't been punished. Who cares if you've been caught? You haven't been punished. Why would you?
Yeah.
You're on borrowed time, man. Why would you stop now?
Yeah, they got beat down.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. That was a bad beat down.
Yeah. The other interesting note that I had was Spencer Rattler. He's the South Carolina quarterback. He was, you know, one of the top players coming out of high school. He ended up going to Oklahoma and then transferring to South Carolina. But he fell to the fifth round, which a lot of people were surprised by. And then reports started coming out that the reason that nobody wanted him was because he was on a Netflix show. They did like a documentary when he was in high school coming into college.
Oh,
he was like part of a documentary, and a lot of the GMs went back and watched the documentary, and they thought that he was kind of immature and they didn't really like him. So that's why they didn't pick him. And he's been in college for like 5 years now. They're like, yeah, we're going to base our pick on this old Netflix show.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. People can change a lot.
College changes people a lot, for sure. Those are very formative years that, you kind of go through a lot of development in that time.
I would argue every year that goes by, you change a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You do. So, yeah, that's pretty wild to base a current pick off someone from 5 years ago. Man, yeah. I think about the person I was 5 years ago. Yikes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Five-year chunks are huge. Like, you're almost a totally different person.
Yeah.
Pretty sure, like, after 5 years, like, every cell in your body has regenerated, and you literally are a completely different person.
Yeah.
So your choices within those last 5 years, like, and there might be some left over, but man, by and large, you are a totally different person. But yeah. Every cell has regenerated itself. So yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Other college football news. Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman Trophy back. Yeah, good call.
Didn't they vacate one of Jim Tressel's like national championships or something?
It wasn't a national championship. So Reggie Bush won the 2005 Heisman. He was a running back at USC. And then in 2010, USC was put on sanctions because they found out there was a lot of paying players going on, including Reggie Bush. He was receiving money, cars, housing, stuff like that from an agent, which was a big no-no at the time.
Yeah, she didn't even have an agent.
Yeah. So because he was declared ineligible, he was forced to return his Heisman Trophy. The Heisman Trust actually made him give the trophy back. He has not been able to participate in the ceremonies every year when they hand out the Heisman Trophy to the best college football player. All of the former winners that are still alive get up on stage there and, you know, present the trophy during the ceremony. He hasn't been allowed to participate in that. And, you know, you always see all of those commercials, the Heisman
House. Yeah, the Heisman House, yeah.
Yeah. And he's not allowed to be in those because he's not a Heisman Trophy winner. So that has now changed since they are now allowed to pay players. What he did back then was illegal, but now it's legal. So they're making it right. They're reversing that. So like you mentioned, next up is Tat Five, right? The players from Ohio State that they vacated an entire season. They suspended, Terrell Pryor was the big name there. He was the quarterback at the time. They suspended those guys for like half the season. Some of them got the full season for selling memorabilia, trading them for tattoos and stuff like that.
Jeez.
Yeah. Which then, as you mentioned, ultimately got Jim Tressel fired because he he hid some information during the investigation, right? Tried to cover it up.
Yeah, tried to help his guys.
Right.
What a bad person.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, at Michigan, if you do that, that just gives you, they just try to give you a lifelong extension. So,
wow. How things have changed, man. Whatever. But so. That gives me a big whatever. Like, this is all a joke.
Yeah.
All this crap's a joke. I don't know if it's good to see or bad to see. Is it good to see or is it bad to see?
I think it's good. You know, for so long, the players just weren't, they were absolutely being taken advantage of. They bring in millions of dollars for the university and they weren't allowed to get anything for it. The problem is the pendulum has swung way too far the other way. And now we basically
no,
have
overcompensated.
We have unregulated free agency. So
yeah,
the right way is somewhere in the middle, right? And I think it's just going to take some time.
It hasn't been found yet. Right now,
it has not been found. Yeah,
been a wrecking ball, man.
Yep. So we'll settle out somewhere in the middle. You know, they're going to have to put a limit on, you know, when you can transfer and how many times you can transfer. Because right now you have guys that will enroll in January and go through spring camp with a team and then transfer out to another team and do summer ball with another team. And then by the end of their freshman year, they're already in the portal
again. Yeah, dude. And here's the thing. The other thing is these guys are all getting playbooks. They're hopping university. It is a whole new like cheating thing. Like, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's just bad. I mean, it's too much. Like you said, they need to restrict it more. I feel like there's been three openings of the transfer portal since the season ended. It's like too much. Like, when are you going to close it? Like, the window should be much smaller.
So there's been two football openings. One was like right after the season, right? And then the other one was right after spring. But then if a coach leaves the team, that team, like, you know, Saban retired, so all of the Alabama players got a 30-day window to join to go into the portal, right?
But what coach? The head coach? Their position coach?
The head coach.
Only the head coach.
If the head coach leaves, then
Which is crazy because to me, I feel like whether you play or not matters a lot more to your position coach.
Right.
Head coach is kind of like, you know, they're the overhead figure, but it's like really when it gets down to it, the position coach is kind of the one calling the shots.
Right. Who's going in the game at what time?
In that position. Yeah.
Yeah.
The head coach isn't making all those calls, but whatever. The rules are the rules, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a wild scene. Anything else on sports?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, you ready to get this on the rails?
Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Proverbs 15:32.
What's that mean?
It means you should always learn from your mistakes and make sure you always follow what you do wrong. Always try to fix it
the next time. And who does it hurt if we don't have discipline?
Yourself.
That's right. We're only hurting ourselves. Good job, buddy.
All right. You guys need to rewind that. Listen to Gary again. Start your week and freedom on. Thanks for listening to the show.